What is up, everybody? Another week has come and gone, and it is Friday, and it's time for Indie Alley, your combination, your amalgamation of comics and wrestling, where we share our passion for what happens in the ring and all those great indie comics. Fred, we had a great week last week, I think. A lot of people called you, DM'd you, sent you messages. I think we're on to something, man.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited by all the feedback. A few people reaching out to us to do some crossover things with them, and we have some exciting things coming up in the next couple of weeks. You'll have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We're growing. We're experimenting. We're trying new things. So in the next few weeks, you'll see some different things. Hopefully they all work. Hopefully we don't do some bad WWE gimmicks that fall flat, but we're going to definitely try a bunch of new things.
That's good shit.
Yes.
That was my Vince McMahon for all you people that don't know. Sorry.
How could you not know? Well, before we get into our comics for this week, I was talking to you. I go, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that the bad news today of finding out that Vertigo is closing down. DC Comics will no longer do the Vertigo imprint. And wow, that's a bummer news for fans of indie comics, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of sad because I look back at my shelf and I'm seeing all these Animal Mans, big Sweet Tooth books. Vertigo's always been something kind of special to me, but I'm saddened. But it's okay because the people of Vertigo that I was big fans of, like Karen Berger and Shelley Bond, started their own companies, publishing companies, the Berger Books for Dark Horse and Shelley Bond with Black Crown Books. I get those feels still. I'm not looking forward to like the DC changing into the Black Label because I think that's just they're just trying to, how would you say, just trying to make some extra money, but don't want to actually keep the imprint. I'm not feeling it.
I posted earlier before our show that I need to get to the LCS and get those Vertigo books that I don't own yet with the Vertigo logo because, you know, getting one of these books with the Black Label logo on it is like buying a concert t-shirt at Hot Topics, man. That's such a poser move. I mean, you know, you didn't go to the concert. And if you're not reading a Vertigo comic with the Vertigo logo on it, I mean, I'll forgive those generations that haven't come yet because they'll have no choice unless they, you know, find it in a swap meet somewhere or in the back of an old shop. But come on, man. Go get it in Vertigo.
Yeah, you don't want to go to a Hot Topic. That's not punk rock. That's emo.
That's not real. So, but yeah, bummer. I mean, for you wrestling fans that are like, what are they talking about comics-wise? Think of the day you found out ECW was done. The day that WWE bought ECW and that greatness that ECW was, that special thing was done. I'm not talking about what they tried to do later. WWE version of ECW. I mean, the real ECW. That's what we're losing in comics today. We were losing the ECW of comics.
Yeah, pour one out for the homies.
So yeah, your favorite would be Lemire's Sweet Tooth, huh? That would be your top Vertigo.
Yeah, probably that, or maybe Scalped, or Lemire's Animal Man, or even Snyder Swamp Thing. There are so many.
So many. Every time I think about it, another one comes to mind. I did one of those, what are your favorite five? And after I did it, I go, wow, I should put this one in there. Oh, I should put that one in there. Oh, I forgot that one. I could do a 20 and still have some left off that are great books. Oh, well. Well, onward. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get, like you said, some great books from Black Crown and Berger Books. So.
Oh, yeah. They'll be featured on here.
All right, well, let's get into our comic books for this week. All number ones. So the thing with number ones is you don't know what you're going to get. So I'd say we got an eclectic mix of books this week, wouldn't you? Some like head scratchers in a good way, but definitely some interesting reads.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is Banjack's number one, chapter one, The Cure. A wholly original and delightful twisted deconstruction of the superhero genre by Hollywood screenwriter Aberrant Scribe Ryland Grant. So the character, Lard Mason, a disgraced former superhero, is diagnosed with terminal cancer, brought on by years of using his powers, defending what he has deemed an ungrateful and ultimately unworthy city is literally killing him. With just months to live and a legacy hanging in the balance, Mason launches a violent and misguided death wish-like campaign to purge the city of supervillains before he dies. Written by Ryland Grant, art and cover by Fabio Alves, colors by Edson Ferreira, letters by HDE, published by Action Lab Comics.
Banjax, it definitely was a different book for me, a different feel. It's not like your normal indie books. It's a little far out there, a little aggressive with their maturity level. I think it's like, wouldn't you say it's like an MA book? Oh,
yeah, definitely. Language, situation, yeah. The violence.
Yeah. Yeah, this book right here, like, Banjax, he's kind of like a vigilante character, so I was down for that in the beginning, you know, because I like Green Arrow, Nightwing, those type of things, Daredevil characters like that, so it's more of an edgy character like that, but, you know, it's kind of heavy, because he's diagnosed with this, with the disease, and then you just see, like, replays throughout his life of things that happen over the years. Like, it's very much so like TV, like screenwriting or a movie. But I dig it. It's definitely, it caught my attention the first time I read it, and it's good. I like it.
Yeah, it was a trip. It's a dark story. You know, this guy's had some really bad luck in his life. He hasn't had anything go right. And when he has a moment of good, it doesn't last very long. It was told in a real interesting way. That's what threw me off is, like you said, he starts in the, you know, like the solicit says, he's diagnosed with cancer and he's being diagnosed in the doctor's office. And he basically flashes back and shows us his whole life up until, you know, after he leaves the office with the cancer. So it was... a weird, like, most of the book's in his head, him telling the story. There's very little dialogue itself between characters. And you just, from his point of view, see how his life has gone. Very different, but like you said, this did feel like a screenplay. I could see this being the opening to a movie or the opening to a series or something. So, I guess not your traditional comic is the best way I could put it. But it was a great-looking book, a lot of great art.
Yeah, the art was really good. I thought it was really done well. The colors, everything about, like, it was kind of like my first attempt to an Action Lab book, and I actually ordered his other books after reading it. I dig his vibe. It's definitely good. You should always check out, like, different books. Don't always go to, like, your Aftershocks, your Image, your DC, your Marvel, all that stuff. Try the other things, because these guys are going to blow up eventually. We found that out with Vito Ayala over the years. A lot of other writers.
Yeah, this wasn't my first role with Action Lab, but this was my first that kind of had this feel. I've read a lot of, like, Zombie Tramp and, you know, Spencer and Locke and things that are a little more humorous. You know, a little on the silly. But this was not humorous at all. You know, this.
Right. It was more real. And I mean, like, what happened in the beginning? Like, they said, like, the drug was called zapping, yeah, or something. And mm-hmm. And it's like crack cocaine of its day. And it said after you do these things or something, like the adrenaline rush or something, you could be dead within 1 to 4 years or something like that.
It might have been less. I can't remember. But yeah, so they basically are like being zapped by some hero's powers so they can get a high. Yeah, it's pretty trippy stuff.
Yeah, because I think it mentioned even in there that the potential, like the high was comparable to heroin or something, and people were like addicted to it. Somehow, it's definitely different.
And the moment he becomes a hero, in essence, because he beats someone to death. You know, even though it's a villain, he beats him to death. This is a pretty dark book. This is not Batman No Kill.
But I'm interested after, like, that last panel and stuff. I want to see who's getting their ass kicked next.
Yeah, and would you say, I'm thinking also that number two is not going to be like number one. Like, maybe we won't have so much of this inner dialogue in number two. You know, now that he's laid it all out.
Yeah, because that's right. Because the first issue, like, he just keeps reliving throughout the years of his life, like, little moments and stuff. So you get a glimpse of everything from him being an abused child to him, like, making bad choices after he breaks up with his wife, things like that, you know. You get all types of stuff. Like, it's all over the place, and it skips around throughout his life. And it happens in the matter of time that he's at the doctor's office hearing his diagnosis. So, like,
and just, he's narrating all that.
Right.
Where I think maybe we'll get more traditional comic book action, yeah, and some dialogue between characters and things. So I think 2 is going to be very different.
Right.
So I'm definitely coming back because I think I don't know, I can't completely judge it on one comic. That wouldn't be fair.
No, you should never judge anything on this first time. What's your saying? Give it at least 2 to 3 books?
Yeah, give it 2. Say I do that with shows, with TV shows, I do all that stuff. I'd like my 3-episode rule to see, you know. Pilots are not always the best, and maybe the first comic, you just never know what the choice is going to be made, how they're going to lay the world out. And sometimes it's really good, right, and sometimes it's clunky, but then the comic kicks in, you know. Well, let's move on to our next comic. Our next comic is Jughead's Time Police #1. It's a brand new series. When Jughead messes up his Riverdale annual bake-off pie recipe so terribly, he is disqualified and banned from all future bake-offs. Jug goes to unthinkable lengths to fix his error. Time travel. Even Riverdale's most erudite teenager can't manage the delicate dance of going back in time, and poor Juggy lands himself in an epic battle to keep the time stream intact. I just said Juggy. Wow. Written by Cinna Grace. Art and cover by Derek Charm. Colors by Matt Herms. Letters by Jack Morelli. Variant covers, there's many of them, by Tyler Boss. Francisco Francavilla, excuse me. Tracy Yardley and Robert Hack with coloring by Kelly Kirkpatrick. This is an Archie comic book, and the name is Jughead's Time Police. What'd you think of this one, Fred?
This book brought back memories of my childhood in Archie comics. This has totally that type of feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It was fun because it was a different pace, like from the other books that I read, you know, some of these darker horror books and stuff. I kind of found the comedy like Leave It to Beaver-ish.
Yeah.
So that made me, you know, laugh at little points where, you know, Jughead makes the bad decision when he puts something inside his pie that he shouldn't have, and everybody gets sick. Food poisoning for everyone. They're all running to the bathroom, to the porta potties. I thought that was kind of funny. I dig it. I dig the art, everything. It made me, after reading this, like, I said to myself, I'm like, man, I need to start reading more Archie, you know, some feel-good stuff.
I like Archie, but I've kind of embraced the new Archie. The Jughead Hunger stuff, Sabrina Chilling Tales, some of the darker horror, you know, Blossom 666, Cullen Bunn's book. So I was undecided on this one, but I did enjoy it. And there was a bunch of moments that I laughed. I liked Hot Dog. Hot Dog is Jughead's dog, if you're not an Archie reader. And his thought bubbles, that he understands what everyone's talking about, were hilarious. But it's you know, it's a silly Archie book. But it ended in a way to think we're going to get something very different from what the first book was. Like, he's going to go on some kind of adventure thing. Kind of like a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, maybe, is a good way to think of it. Maybe he's going to, like, travel through time and do some crazy stuff. Yeah. So, but it was a good looking book, real simple read. I think traditional Archie fans will like it, especially the ones that haven't enjoyed this new turn with the horror Archie a la Riverdale, which is a little more mature and has, like, kind of that Twin Peaks vibe. And someone who's looking for the old fashioned, you know, malt shop Archie.
Yeah, like you mentioned about Hot Dog, every time I see that dog in comic books, I always think of, like, the Disney movie, the Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
Things like that, because that's what, you know, I associate those type of things, like Archie comics and those type of movies, just growing up and childhood. And it brought back some memories. So don't be afraid just because, you know, indie books that we might read, like, say, Trust Fall, Death or Glory, things like that. And you need a good palate cleanser. This is definitely one that I would check out, or check out some other Archie stuff. I mean, there's a reason why it's still around and still going strong.
Yeah, there's a lot of great. I mean, this week, Kelly Thompson's Sabrina. And that's more in this vein. It's a little more whimsical and a less of the horror. Yeah, check out Archie. And I know a lot of our friends and fans listen to or read Archie, because I see your posts every week. And I see your bin dollar dives. And I see a lot of old Archie books in there. So we have some Archie fans out there that follow us. I know we do. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our next book. This one is Trust Fall number 1. Ash Parsons was raised to believe she's special. As someone with a quirk of genetics that lets her teleport things, she's the golden goose of her family. Her family is the foundation of a struggling criminal outfit trying to get ahead in the world, and Ash is able to pop out whole fleets of cars and entire bank vaults. But while she can teleport valuables and her accomplices, she can't teleport herself, making every job a trust fall with her family there to catch her and escort her to safety. It's a perfect setup, but as things begin to change and the Parsons move up in the world, Ash will find herself pushing back against her golden cage with deadly results. Whew. Written by Christopher Sabella. Art and cover by Chris Visions. Lettered by Hassan Otaman Elihu. Variant covers Claire Rowe and Dylan Todd. Published by Aftershock. Trust Fall.
Okay, this book right here, man, you know, okay, we post our pictures, our picks of the week and things like that, and we're called Indie Alley. So a lot of our stuff is graffiti. Well, this book right here, it's art, it's graffiti art style. And when I first saw that, I was like, holy crap, they did a whole book like this? This is amazing, because I'm a big fan of that type of art. I mean, I grew up in the hood, so I've seen it all the time, and this is how we would express ourselves. Not only that, I'm a big fan of Hassan's lettering. It was unreal. Like, the change of fonts, the colors. Even he had this one bubble that he crossed out the dialogue in it. Did you notice that, Andrew? There was so many little pieces in here that I was like, oh, wow, this is a guy that, he's a boss.
Yeah.
Just in, like, lettering. Now, for the book, I had to read it a few times to just understand what's going on. And it's totally different than any other Sabella book. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of his work, like from High Crimes to Shanghai Red to Crowded to House of Mock. I'm trying to think of other books that I have. But yeah, man, this one is totally different. And it's, what would you call it, a high concept?
This book blew me away. And I think one thing to think of is right away you see Christopher Sabella. And I like you, I'm such a huge fan. But I felt like that first issue, the star was Chris Visions, not Christopher Sabella. The art.
Yes.
I kept stopping to just like try to like look, figure out that the art was like so much going on. All these bright colors, very phonetic. Like it was moving and there felt like all this motion and action in it. And then I'd have to go back and try to like reestablish where I had been reading to read, because the art was almost distracting. The art was its own thing by itself. And the panels, they're not rectangles. Did you notice that? There's like all kinds of oddly shaped panels. Yep. And there was this one panel where the border of the panel was the guy's shoulders and his head.
Yeah, I'm looking like at that right now.
Nine. Yeah. I mean, like all kinds of crazy art decisions, okay? So it's almost like the first time through, I didn't really read properly, because I was just blown away. So I had to put it down, come back to it a day later, and then read it again to really get the gist of the story. You know, what was going on. How that, like, I didn't catch right away that she couldn't teleport. It was obvious once you read it again that she couldn't teleport. But I was just like, oh my God. Like, all the, like, there was like this purple, like, swoosh that was through the whole page that was kind of guiding you, like, that showing that it was fast action and the car was driving fast and just, just wow. Like a sensory overload on the art, without a doubt.
It is. There's a lot going on, a lot to take in this book. And like where you mentioned, like the swooshing and stuff, that's where I automatically started looking at it and going, holy crap, this is like graffiti art style. I'm like, I'm digging it. And I would just keep looking at it. The other thing that I liked too is it kind of gave you like certain words and they would break down definitions for things, you know.
Yes.
So I thought that was a nice touch of the book. Of course, it's an Aftershock book, so I'm going to pick it up. I read everything Aftershock. And then you put Sabella's name on it too, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. And
he deserves a lot of credit also because, you know, he gets the major pub being the writer at the top, but he always puts together these great teams. It seems like every time we read one of his books, we're talking about so many pieces of it. We're talking about the logo sometimes, like on Crowded, or we're talking about, you know, like you said, how the great lettering that you noticed. He really goes out and gets collaborators that do really cool stuff with him. And his books are just worth the effort to go find because they're an experience. Yeah.
Yes. And like I thought when it originally came out that it was going to be kind of like a comico book, but I'm not getting that feeling now. I thought it was going to be something similar to Crowded. Mm-hmm. But it's another new chapter, new way of writing for him that I've never seen before. And this interests me a lot. Don't be afraid to like read it a couple times because, or get mad the first time you read it because I think we all did it. Like yeah. I know I read it 3 times,
yeah.
Just to see if I was missing something. But then after, like you read the solicit, then I was like, okay, now if I would have read that first, I would have understood a lot more, a lot quicker. But yeah, it's definitely worth picking up. Of course, I'm going to be a little partial because it is a Sabella book. So, I mean, go check it out if you haven't already. And go pick up some Aftershock books. There's a lot of good books out there from them.
Definitely. They're slowly becoming one of my favorite publishers, without a doubt. I'm picking up, it seems like weekly, I'm picking up an Aftershock book now, which is pretty impressive considering they're not that big. All right. And, you know, and then the lettering by Elihu. It seems like I also, when I do these solicits, I start recognizing names over and over and over. And I always see his name attached to something that kind of blows me away. There's him, there's Esposito, there's Duke Shire. Those three names just keep popping up in the good books.
And Simon Boland.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's funny. It's the unsung hero of the comic book.
Yeah, like for the letter, I mean, I remember Taylor told me one time, he said, you know, for being a letter, the importance is like a drummer to a band. Like, you have to set the pace, the beat, the tone for the book. And that was a good, like, way to put it. And shout out to him because that dude does some crazy shit. Well, man, I need to stop cussing.
It's because you did that Vince thing and you got that in your head.
Yes, that's probably it.
It's all stuck in your head now.
My anger towards WWE. Good
shit now. All right. You got to get that out of your system before Joey Donuts joins us. All right. Let's go with the last book. The Ride, Burning Desire number 1. The Ride celebrates its 15th anniversary with a 5-part story from the award-winning team of Plastic, plus a special backup feature from Adam Hughes. After serving a hard 15 years in prison on a murder plea, former Atlanta PD detective Samantha Vega now makes her living as a bouncer at an exotic dance club. But life on the outside isn't easy, especially when enemies have scores to settle. Written by Doug Wagner. Art by Daniel Hilliard. Colors by Laura Martin. Letter by Ed Dukeshire. There he is. Cover by Adam Hughes. But then the second story called Sparkles that's at the back is written by Doug Wagner. Art and color by Adam Hughes. Also letter by Ed Dukeshire. So you have a little one shot at the back of this book. So it's published by Image. This is The Ride, Burning Desire. Fred, what did you think of Burning Desire?
I thought it was the best book that we're going to do on the podcast today. And with that being said, like, it had a lot of feel. Like, I'm a huge Rick Remender fan, and it has a Death of Glory feel to it. Probably not the humor so much of, like, Rick Remender, but basically the same type of things happen in the book. I didn't know that she was a bouncer in the beginning, so the pages where she, like, kicks everyone's behind. See, uh-huh. I didn't swear right there. I thought that was really good. I thought it was just really well written. Like, I blew through this book quickly because it just flowed that good. It caught my attention. It just kept going. I wanted to keep turning the pages, see what happened next, where it was going to go. Now, for like the colors and things, the beginning, because you mentioned she works at a strip club, it has that vibe. It has the color tones that if you walked into one of those places, not that I ever walked into a strip club, I've seen it on TV. PG. Right. You know, I've seen Dusk to Dawn, so I know what it looks like.
There you go.
but yeah, this, it's a really good book, man. I liked it a lot. She's a tough girl. She can kick butt. I don't want to spoil too much, but I'm definitely going to say that I would highly, highly recommend this book. It was that well done. What do you think, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. This is right in my wheelhouse. I love Grindhouse, and this made me think of Grindhouse stuff. If you guys have seen the second film in the Grindhouse movie series, the one Tarantino does, Death Proof, Cars, Hot Women, You're in a Strip Club. Kind of, you know, the dialogue has that feel. I mean, it could offend if you don't like that, if you take it a little too seriously. But you're looking at an era and a style of storytelling that, yeah, Grindhouse. I really liked it. And I do like that there's this mystery. And it's perfect for a five-issue series. I had not read a lot of the books that came before this. This has been around for a while, but I definitely will be. Because if they're anything like this, this is right up my alley. I really like this kind of stuff. And great looking art. There's this cover. I don't know if you noticed. There's this cover on the back. Like a back cover. And I don't know who did it. I cannot read the signature. And there is no credit anywhere in the book. But there's this great looking piece of art on the back as well. And then that second story. That was a trippy little story. That was like borderline something like I'd read in a Garth Ennis type. You know,
yeah, it was. Yeah, you know? That was. Yeah, that
something out of Preacher,
right? Or an Aftershock book.
No, but yeah, like, there's some creepy sparkles. Sparkles isn't what you think.
no, it's not. Yeah. It's not the glitter of their outfits at the strip club. That's for sure.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yeah, I just noticed on the back of the book when you mentioned that it said it was 15-year anniversary, and I hadn't read anything else from this title before, so this was my introduction. I didn't feel lost or anything. It was done really well. Like I said, best book that I read this week that we put on the podcast right now.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's right up your alley from stuff you've liked over the years. It has that crime feel. The crime story, like things that you like Hot Lunch Special and right. Criminal and things like that that seem to be hit home for you. So I knew you were going to like it. I kind of like the cars and all that. I've always been a fan of, you know, the muscle cars and everything.
Right. So. Well, when they show the car at the last panel, I was like, oh, it's about to be a chase book. That's why I thought Death of Glory, because the main character in that was female. Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of chase action scenes, and I'm waiting for it to pick up because I added this one to my pull list. We'll probably review it again in the future.
Definitely keep going with this one. Good book. Check it out. Beautiful looking book. A lot of purples and pinks this week, huh? If you think about it, Trustfall had all that purple and pink. This has a lot of purple and pink. Yeah. A little bit of an overload. All right. Well, that's the comics for this week. So I guess it's wrestling time, nerds. So we're going to bring in a third member of our panel, and let's talk some wrestling.
He's heading down the aisle. Joey Bag of Donuts.
Oh, he fell down like Titus.
He said he fell down like Titus.
Oh, ready, tired. Everybody situated?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. You had your Michael Cole entrance. Let's talk briefly about a pay-per-view. I guess it'd be, well, not a pay-per-view, but a special show that we saw in Mexico from AAA this weekend. Because it had a pretty newsworthy match in it. So maybe we'll just hit some things in that match. And Joey, you being our AAA guy, what'd you think of that show overall? What would you give it? A good score?
mean, like, numbers-wise, like, out
of or just was it something that you thought, like, when you think I want to show off a AAA match to my friends, or a AAA show, this is one I would pick, or would you be like, eh?
I mean, don't they, I think they only have two pay-per-views, so, like, this is, like, their SummerSlam or their Royal Rumble. So, like, I would say, so far this year, this is the show, until, gotcha, like, Triple Mania comes.
Nice. What match would you consider the highlight of that show?
I mean, my favorite match was the tag team championship match between the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, I would say that might be the match of the week. That match was really good.
Mm-hmm. I know my dad was going to choose the Blue Demon match with the Demon, Wagner, and all those guys.
He's nostalgic. He likes the old guys.
Yeah, he likes the 50-year-olds that got bloodied really fast. That's his type of thing. He likes the slow guys that make him feel good.
What the heck? Come on. Don't come over here and start busting my balls.
Yeah. Can't be watching the slow old guys.
Okay. Just because I have that Dr. Wagner mask over here doesn't mean anything.
That was a fun match. I think that Dr. Wagner match with all those other guys suffered from coming after the Young Bucks, which was going a mile a minute. And well, it's hard to follow that.
And that match was actually put there to set up because, you know, Wagner and Blue Demon are legends in Mexico. Coming up at Triple Mania, Blue Demon puts his mask up on the line against Dr. Wagner. So if he loses, he retires.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially, you know, the fan base that's there, the AAA fan base knows about that. And, you know, losing a mask is that's major, like, news.
Yeah, like, because when Wagner lost his mask to Pagano, everyone seen how ugly he is, and he's kind of scarier without it.
I mean, but yeah, but it would be, I would say, a little more of a, like, it would be more hyped up because of the Blue Demon is actually, like, I think the second most known Mexican wrestler after El Santo. But it's, like, that big name just revealing his face would, like, I don't know, like, there's no words to explain what would it do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Young Bucks Lucha Brothers was just as good as the Double or Nothing match. In some spots, maybe better. But... yeah, it was, I mean, it's so funny. This is why I like the Bucks. Is they're like the clown show when they're not in the ring, but when they're in the ring, man, they turn it on. And, you know, the Lucha Bros are always going a mile a minute. So that match was just amazing.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Like, when you said that, I thought of, like, the mullet haircut back in our day. Like, it's a business up front and party in the back. That's the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that is the Young Bucks, you know. You watch the All Elites and you know, all the YouTube videos, and it's all fun and games and everything. But, man, when they get in the ring, they're not there to play around. Their persona is much different, and they're there to fight. And they don't like to lose. So I really appreciate that. They make every match entertaining. And it was pretty much what we expected, huh, when we were watching it. It was time for the AAA belts to go back to someone actually.
Yeah, that, and the good thing is, like, because they've been wrestling so much against each other, those four guys, like Rey Fénix being the youngest of everyone, he's showcasing his talents and showing everyone, like, why he's one of the best in the world.
Isn't that the Bucks' last independent show? Yeah. So
No. They have one in California. Something Glory is the name of the promotion.
That's an Impact show.
Maybe. Is that in California?
That's a...
And that is their last show.
They have a last... Their last match is on Impact.
No. It's
is
not
that a, that PWG little, show? I don't know.
Bound for Glory is an Impact show.
I don't... Okay, well, there's something about Glory in the title of this promotion's tag. So it's a three letter thing, and the G's in it, and the G is Glory, and I'll have to look it up afterwards. But I watched their videos. I follow them on YouTube, and they talked about it, and they talk about how that's going to be their last indie match for a long, long time. So that's kind of cool. You know, another match I liked, and it was my pick for this week, was Taya Valkyrie, because I kind of like that match. I thought Taya and Tessa got into it, man. They got into it with the fans. They got into it. They fought the male wrestler.
That was a good match because it wasn't a Laredo Kid, her partner, and he was able to showcase some things, mm-hmm. and he's actually going to be joining the Lucha Bros and the Triple Threat match. Is that what it or?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a three-man tag team.
Yes.
Six-man.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting to see. Like, it's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus the three luchadors. And if you haven't seen Laredo Kid, if you like Rey Fénix and Pentagon, wait till you see this kid. He's good.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of flying around, a lot of cool double teaming, stuff like that. And then the one last thing, we got to bring up Aerostar. Nearly killed himself.
He does that at every main show.
Did you see what happened to him? He even said he was sorry to the fans on Twitter, and dude almost killed himself. I mean, geez, oh, Pete. He came down so fast because he's so light that how's Monster Clown supposed to stop his fall?
You should have seen at Triple Mania, was it last year or the year before? They put him on the same thing, but then raised it all the way up to the roof, and then he jumped off. And it was like at a football dome.
Oh my God! Did they catch him at least?
They caught him in the ring because everybody was there that time.
Wow. Yeah, because I think what happened is it wasn't lined up right, so he only fell on Clown.
Uh-huh. Right.
And the other guy to the left was supposed to be. So that was if they were both supposed to catch him, but he was so far over to the right that it was just one person, and he couldn't do it.
He came down too fast. I don't know. And like when he came down, I was like, oh man. And then you see like Killer Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux's face, like they were cringing because they knew he was hurt. Was serious. Like that, wow. Like if he wouldn't have caught Monster Clown that little bit, just imagine how hard he would have hit that ground.
He'd have broken a leg or something the way he was coming down for sure.
Yeah.
That was some insane stuff.
Right, but wrestling's not real, right?
Nope. Okay. Not at all. It's silly. It's all scripted.
Wrestling's real. People are fake.
Definitely. Well, I liked it overall. It wasn't my favorite. I told your dad. I know you're going to be mad at me, Joey. AAA would probably rank a little lower on my favorite promotions. But he said you had a good description of what AAA is. Do you maybe remember what it is you told him when you were describing it versus CML?
Oh, what? I don't remember describing it.
Like that age.
All right. So the CMLL is like the NXT, I would say, because like they're both... They were the same company, which one of my dad's Mexican friends told me. Like, I don't remember it like that, but I guess they split it up, and CMLL became like the NXT, and AAA's like all the older guys and the main event guys are all there.
You said like they were Impact.
The Impact of Mexico or something.
Yeah, they're like the Impact because, you know, Impact has what, Sabu and... Those other guys, Rob Van Dam.
I mean, they got some good guys there still.
Yeah, they do.
They're losing some, though.
I guess what's happening? I went in wanting to see some of those guys you told me about. I was looking for Bandito and some of these other guys that I didn't see because they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
So. The good guys come to the U.S.
They lost. Well, I mean, Kalisto was there. Originally, which his dad is Octagon, so he had some beef with Pentagon Jr. But and then are they losing Phantasmo, like, or King Cuerno from Lucha Underground? Like, what is it?
I think he still works there, but he hasn't been on there recently.
That was they still have Angelico and Jack Evans, or are those guys done with AAA?
I'm not sure. I think they mostly do like Lucha Underground stuff. I don't know if they do.
Do they still do Lucha Underground?
But Lucha Underground is kind of like dead. Some of those guys sued to get out of that contract, even because there's
it back though?
It's as of right now. Okay, it's not officially canceled, But I heard on an interview that's because that's television talk, because it's more like a television show. And right, so right, just out of the blue, they can decide
but, to greenlight. But, I mean, the, those season. Guys were mainly AAA talents anyways. They pulled everybody from AAA to be on that show.
But they couldn't work anywhere else, so some people sued. There are certain wrestlers that actually sued them to get out because it's like, we can't work. Well, and we're not getting paid because we're not doing a show.
Well, they
because you're on break forever.
Who their main event guys all left, I think. Like Ricochet or Prince Puma left, Loki left, and what's his name? Mundo or Johnny Impact. Those were their main event guys and they left. So that's what it like disappeared. It's mostly for the Netflix guys that oh late. They have wrestling on here? Let me see it.
What the?
Wild. I liked it. I thought it was different. It really showcased a lot of interesting people. They got their chance on Lucha Underground. So right. It was around. It did something good. Mm-hmm. All right. So what do we want to go? ROH? Did you guys watch this week's episode of ROH?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it like Ring of Honor this week was much better than the past 3 weeks because we only saw the lure after the commercial break, and that was it. We got no Bully Ray this week, so that was a bonus. We're winning, like Charlie Sheen. I thought like the Briscoe package was good. The Bandido package was sweet. My favorite part of that show was the Shinobi Shadow Squad with Cheeseburger versus Lifeblood and PJ Black. I thought that was the best match on the show.
What did they have? Tama Tonga, the Gorillas of Destiny's brother for the first match.
Yeah,
Hikolo.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say about that match, though. But I would agree with my dad with the Lifeblood. Cheeseburger and those guys match.
I like Lifeblood. They show up. Every time they're in a match, they show up. They may not be top of the card. They may not be world beaters, but they show up. Every time they're in a match, they seem to be entertained.
Yeah.
They seem to be a consistent.
Yeah, and then the PJ Black kind of fits well with him. The finishing move was sweet. I thought that was, what was it, a 450 double foot Finn Balor stomp on the middle of that guy?
Yeah.
Right.
I never seen that before. I was like, whoa, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, they worked together well. There was a lot of tags. Even with PJ, they incorporated him with some other double teaming. It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably the best. It was better than the main event. The main event was more, I enjoyed the main event only because I enjoyed Taven on commentary.
Yeah, he stole the show. No one's done commentary like that since Bobby the Brain Heenan.
So that was entertaining. I mean, him setting up and talking about Cobb and everyone else and how great he is.
Yeah. Yeah,
good stuff.
What did he say? He said, could they? He said something. He was like, but could they beat Matt Taven?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was good. So I was.
But like you mentioned before, like the match at the end of Fatal 4-Way is just the setup for what's the pay-per-view coming up next Friday? Is it Best
Slammiversary?
Best in the World, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But are they meeting each other in Best of the World? Or are they meeting each other at Slammiversary? I don't know.
Their main Cobb is fighting Taven.
Right.
Okay.
What's with the PCO thing with the suicide dive? She was like, did he want it?
I don't know. He took a bad bump off the side of the apron, too, man. That guy's nuts.
Yeah.
It's really nuts.
How old
is he? Watch him.
He's in his 50s.
He's like a AAA main eventer.
Wow. But no. This guy hurts himself. I mean, he does some crazy stuff. Yeah, he that was, it wasn't a bad match. I guess WWE has ruined the multi-man match for me. Every time I see that there's going to be more than two people in it, I get like, because I have to watch so much of that on Raw and Nitro, Raw and SmackDown over the last few years. It's like, I don't get excited for that. But it wasn't a bad match. Like you said, this was probably one of the better of their ROH. The Allure thing was funny. I mean, when I was sitting there and they went to commercial, I just laughed. And I come back and it's already over and they're not going to fight. I go, this is just
perfect. Yeah,
perfect.
we popped big time at home. Like, we got out of our seats and cheered. So I was like, oh, great. We're not going to see them. This is amazing. Awesome.
You know what's sad, too, is Kelly Klein.
She looks like she's ready to fight, and then they just...
Yeah. And she's the kind of, like, old school baby face that I don't think she can get over by herself. Like, she doesn't have those Tessa Blanchard, Becky Lynch type skills. She needs a good heel, and they're not giving her one. I really don't think these Allure girls are going to get her over.
Right.
You know? And Klein can wrestle, and she's a really nice girl, and she's a perfect babyface with the right... But they need to have, you know, somebody that makes us care. Somebody fighting her other than these mean girls from the, you know, 80s that are still around. yeah.
With their Aquanet to spray in their eyes, so they...
yeah. Exactly. Oh, we're going to spray you with... And take a... And draw something on your head with the lipstick. It just, no, it doesn't work. I mean, they need somebody to push her. Somebody, because she's a good wrestler, and I think she could be a good champion, but she's the kind of champion that needs a good heel.
Send her to Impact.
That's just my two cents. Well, she'd be great in Impact. Well, she might get lost in Impact, actually. Right. She might be a little too bland for Impact, because you have to really stand out. Impact has a lot of good wrestlers. Yeah.
Maybe they should put her against, like, Jordan Grace and see what happens. Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to Impact then. Are we going to do the Impact from last week, or are we just going to skip it? Because
we did Impact last week.
Did we?
Yeah. Okay. Because we recorded on Saturday.
That's right. Okay. So we've already done Impact. Mm-hmm. All right. And they're wrestling tonight. And yeah, the only news, I guess, is Scarlett Bordeaux is gone. No more Scarlett Bordeaux in Impact. Where do you think she lands? Anyone have a choice? Where they'd like to see her?
Triple A.
Triple A? She speaks Spanish.
I think there, and then possibly maybe AEW. I don't want to see her in anything other than AEW. Because I don't think they're going to do her justice.
Right.
If she went to WWE, they'd turn her into Sable.
Yeah. I was telling Matt that, our friend Matt, who runs the Regular Guy Wrestling Podcast. What's the full title?
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay. Did I think they'd turn her into Lana? At best. At best, she'd be Lana. And if they sent her to NXT, forget it. She would never get out of NXT. They just wouldn't know how to use her right, I don't think. She needs to go somewhere different. So
AEW. I'd agree.
But the trick is, she's going to go wherever he goes. So that's the thing that's going to get her signed.
See, he should go there too, because they need like a big guy that's gonna tear the place up.
Isn't that what you guys were trying to find, like on that first episode where AEW needed a bigger guy?
Yeah.
Yep,
and he would be that kind of guy. They don't have that big bulldog kind of guy, and I think they need one of those. So yep, I'd be all for that. Him or Roosh or something like that, you know. All right, let's move on to MLW this week. I thought MLW was a pretty entertaining show. Advanced a lot of the stories. I like the fact that Contra is going to have a real match. You know what I mean? Low key knocks out, what's his name, the Sincario guy?
Ricky Martinez.
Yeah. There was some good stuff. And then Selena De La Renta running the show and telling us how to speak Spanish properly. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show. It's always entertaining. My most entertaining part was when Jim Cornette got mad and he called Sammy Callahan a gimmick.
Well, Callahan spit water all over
him. I thought that was awesome. I thought that, like, if he wasn't mad, he sure looked mad.
Yeah.
They should have hit him with the racket.
Oh, it looked like he was going to for a minute. I thought he thought about it.
But the first match was actually pretty decent. What was that? Ray Oris versus
Roof.
Versus Flamita.
Mm-hmm.
Which was pretty good. We actually saw, wasn't Flamita in AAA too?
Yeah.
This weekend too, mm-hmm. So he's been pulling double duty. That was a pretty decent match. I mean, there was a few botches, but I mean... It happens.
It's Oris.
No one's perfect. What?
It's Oris, not Horace.
Who said Horace?
Selena Del Renta told you how to say it. Oh. Gotta say it correctly.
You don't say the H.
Yeah, but I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that was a good match too. It just seemed like they hadn't worked together, and there were some pauses in the match. Like, they weren't sure, like, maybe one person wasn't where he was supposed to be, so they had to, like, kind of reset.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And I think that's another person that maybe she's looking at to add to Promociones Dorado, because she's lost low-key, so she needs to build up again. And then we're going to see Savio Vega.
Oh. Yeah, and it seems like she might lose Ricky Martinez soon because she was verbally abusing him in the locker room.
Did she drop an F-bomb?
Yes, I can swear she dropped an
F-bomb. Yeah, I think yes.
I was like, whoa.
I thought she said mother trucker, didn't she?
Maybe. Yeah.
Wait.
It was close. It was real close that she got me. I mean, I'm used to her letting them fly in Spanish, but I hadn't heard her drop them in English like that before. And I was like, holy smoke. So they let her get away with a little bit.
Well, she was producing it, so she probably red-lighted herself. She turned her head around like Mance Warner and said, red light on.
All right, let's talk about Mance Warner and Sami Callihan. What are your thoughts on that big old redneck brawl?
It's like something you would find at the truck stop down south.
Fighting over a pack of cigarettes?
Maybe, or... Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I was going to say something else, but I don't want to make it. Yeah, I don't want to say anything else. Yeah, it was a good match. Actually, the build up for the match, like how MLW has done it, it's been great throughout the time. Like it was really good storytelling throughout the match. Like even with the hot sauce spot, things like that. Mm-hmm. I could do without the staple guns. But the staple gun on Warner's lip onto that door, I was like, ooh, oh, man, did it really go through his lip?
I couldn't tell.
Or was he just made it look like it?
And I think, because it was his tongue, I think, not his lip. And so I think he the blood that was left there, he had in his mouth already.
Well, yeah.
At least I hope so.
Well, because they did put him in the trash can, so he might have had a little bit of something in there. They put him in the trash can, then came out all bloody.
Wait, are you saying wrestling's fake?
No.
Oh, no. It's enhanced.
Because it's real to me.
He Ric Flaired it. He cut himself before the match.
Very possible. Very possible. Yeah. You know what I don't like? Whenever there's a Callahan match, and I know it's coming, and I just know it's going to gross me the hell out, the spitting, man.
Yeah, that's so disrespectful. I don't know. Maybe it's my generation. Like, you don't spit on somebody's face, or you don't. You don't touch somebody's face.
But dude, he doesn't just like a little spit, like to say spit. He
like loogies.
Ugh.
It's so disgusting.
You saw when they shook hands way before the match in their promo?
I'm just glad Mance Warner won. He's a true heel.
I enjoy him, and you got to have him around because it gives De La Renta all those great lines that we don't want to go away.
She called him a goat lover.
So we want that to continue into the future. Yeah, it was a great match as usual. They do a lot in a little bit of time. The only thing I'd say is that sometimes Cornette gets a little ornery when he has to watch like a luchador match or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to learn to embrace some of these other styles.
Yeah, I think that's part of like his gimmick though, because. Because I think he's mentioned on his podcast that, you know, it's a perfect blend of, like, American wrestling, luchadors, a strong style all in one. That's why they call it fusion, MLW fusion.
I mean, it is.
He likes to play the angry redneck.
And then we saw the Von Erichs for the first time, all cowboyed up.
Mm-hmm.
With the Lawler. Mm-hmm. That was what was with them? Yep. And they're supposed to go against Contra, right?
That's the Contra match, yeah. It's Lawler versus Fatu, and then they're just going to have their partners ringside, so it can turn to a big old scrum.
I'm hoping Fatu does win, because then they're going to do something with like Contra coming out after the match and maybe just like taking out the whole Von Erichs, and you might see some Von Erich action in the ring a little bit after.
They're big.
Yeah, they built that faction up pretty well. They book them correctly. It's done good. The whole show's done well. I mean,
they put them over. I mean, they beat up some of the best people they have on that show.
Like, that's how if I was in NXT, I would book the Undisputed Era like they do Contra.
Yeah.
Like NWO style.
I would 100% agree with you. And it's funny, when we get to that, I'm going to bring something similar like that up. Yeah, I would totally 100% agree with that. Let them just run wild.
Yeah.
And well, maybe we should just go right into NXT, because we've pretty much covered all of MLW for the week.
Yeah.
So this was a really good NXT episode. We both were kind of surprised in talking about that, I remember, is that we were like, wow, NXT really had their groove this week. A lot to see. Undisputed Era comes out. Then you have Riddle and Breeze and the Dream come out. And they get into a nice promo. And then we had some debuts. We had a solid women's match. It was a good week. And then the announcement of this big tournament coming forward.
Right.
That tournament is basically going to be all the indie guys that have been stashed away at the Performance Center.
Yeah. They get a chance to face for, if they win, they get to choose a title that they want to go against or something.
It'll probably be North American, if I were to bet.
Right. They wouldn't let them go straight after the heavyweight.
Yeah, they won't do that. They won't let that happen. They control that a little better. Maybe get that belt off of Dream so Dream can get into a program with Cole. But I want to see Riddle with Cole. I want to see that. Mm. It's time.
Yeah. You know, Matt Riddle hasn't lost against anyone.
Lost against Dream.
Right, but like Adam Cole, all the heavyweight guys, right? He hasn't lost to. He beat Roderick Strong. Who did he beat?
He beat Gargano. They haven't even fought him and Gargano.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he's beat two of the Undisputed Era because he's beaten Cole.
Yeah.
And he's beat Strong.
And he beat Strong just recently.
Right? I feel like he fought Gargano in, one of his debut or matches. I feel like that's where they threw him in. I don't
remember.
I feel like they did, though.
But, yeah. But we're getting to that point where it's going to be time soon. I guess it depends how long you want Cole to hold on to that belt. If they're going to do something fun, like you said, and make them like an NWO or a DX. Because I got a DX feel. Like when they redid the intro to the show with nothing but Undisputed Era footage.
Right.
It kind of had that feel of like when Shawn Michaels and Hunter used to like take over the truck.
Uh-huh.
And just run whatever they wanted and be in charge.
And that kind of makes sense because Shawn Michaels works backstage.
So does Triple H.
Mm-hmm. But, and plus, Adam Cole has always, throughout his indie career, been compared to Shawn Michaels too. Like with the like his style wrestling and his look and everything. So
Superkick.
Yeah. I'm good with it. What I was most excited for was Punishment Martinez, except what's his name now?
Damian Priest.
Yeah, I was excited to see him because it's about time, because last time I seen him wrestle is when he lost to Jeff Cobb for the TV championship. He got squashed.
Well, that's when he was leaving, though, right?
Right. So he had to put over Jeff Cobb, and he bounced.
I hope he made the right decision. I just don't trust them. I don't trust them with him.
Oh, man, I would love for anything for Aleister Black to be back there and those two be a tag team.
Mm-hmm. Tag team?
Wow.
That's creepy. those two looks, dudes together is creepy.
he kind of looks like a Aleister Black Baron Corbin.
Yeah, a little bit. I know what you mean.
What's the dude? What's the guy's name that played Machete? He's like a young version of him.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember his name right now, but I know who you mean. Yeah. NXT, I don't know what they're going to do because they have so much talent, and it seems like people from up top are coming down. I've seen spoilers for some of the upcoming episodes. There's more people coming down.
All the guys on the tournament need to just be thrown in there because those are the type of guys that they need.
Would you think NXT should go to 2 hours? Or the fact that NXT is good is because it sticks to 1 hour and you don't get bored?
I don't think it should be 3 matches or 2. I think they should have at least like 4 or 5. They
would have to go to 2 hours then.
Right. But like, it doesn't sound good at 2 hours, but like, if you say more than like 4 or 5 matches in NXT, because they have the talent for it, it sounds...
It's just, it depends on pacing. Like, Raw or SmackDown, there's no pacing.
Right. Yeah.
But if they keep up, like, the 2 hour, don't they normally do their pay-per-views 2 hours long and it runs smoothly? I mean, why couldn't you do that?
And I like their little vignettes that they do. Their vignettes are not your traditional backstage promos. They do some like produced stuff like that. What they did with Mia Yam this week, or that was produced. That wasn't something they did on the fly. They actually filmed her. You know what I mean?
Right.
And gave it a gloss. And that's, I was telling your dad, the big thing that I think why AEW is probably still the best right now is because their production level is miles ahead of everybody else.
And they've only done one show.
Yep. So it's like WWE production, but presenting us wrestlers in a style that we want from AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, all of them. You know what I mean? So.
Wait, you meant like NXT being produced that way, right?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said AEW.
I wanted to correct AEW is going to be produced that way.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking.
But right,
so that's why they're going.
But right now, NXT is produced the best out of all the indies. Yeah, that, I totally agree with that. But if AEW is produced like that last pay per view, they're going to be right up there because that was.
I agree.
Amazing.
Because it's little things like when we watch these other shows, like the camera's on the wrong side, the camera's not in the right position, so we see the botch where you wouldn't see the botch if the camera was set up right.
Right. They don't switch cameras because they have one guy working the well that's right there.
Yeah.
So it's,
and you can hear entrance music sometimes, you know, things like that. They're little things that hype up the story for you.
Right.
You know, when you hear the entrance music of each wrestler, it kind of gets you in the mood for that wrestler's match.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like New Japan, if somebody botches, then they just go over there and do something really crazy to make it look better.
New Japan's a whole different animal, man.
Yeah.
It's something special.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's Asian art.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any other wrestling news or any shows we want to go over before we call it a night? We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pay-per-views coming. Hey, there's a pay-per-view Sunday. You guys watch it?
Which pay-per-view?
Oh, it's a great one. It's called Stomping Grounds.
Oh, you're talking WWE. I was like, what? Am I missing something? I've wrote down Friday as Ring of Honor, Best in the World. Saturday is Fighter Fest. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Throw you for a loop there.
Yeah.
Anyone, you guys watching it all?
No.
I'm not even going to turn it on.
Probably watch it the day later or something.
Maybe. We'll see.
I told you I want to watch one, but they better give them time. I want to see Ricochet and Samoa Joe, but I want time. If it's a 5-minute match, I'm going to turn the whole thing off in disgust and not watch the rest of it.
Is it Raw pay-per-view, SmackDown pay-per-view, or is it both?
They do them both now together.
They just do them both now. They don't do the divide.
When's the last time you watched WWE?
WrestleMania.
Wild card rule. He doesn't know.
Yeah, he hasn't watched it since WrestleMania.
Yeah, everything's a big old cluster now. But pretty much, if you watched any of that thing in Saudi Arabia, you've already seen this show. Because that's pretty much what the matches are. There's like maybe two matches that weren't on that show. The women's matches, because they don't have women over there. And the Samoa Joe Ricochet match. Other than that, it's the same exact card.
They're doing Undertaker versus Goldberg?
Well, yeah, they don't have that. But I mean the other guys.
Right.
Like, it's Corbin versus Seth. It's Ziggler versus Kofi. You know, all the stuff you already saw.
Ziggler versus Kofi sounds
terrible.
No, it doesn't. Dolph Ziggler is good, and Kofi could, like, he could do better. But, like, I feel like the old Kofi's better. I don't know.
All right. Well,
and just don't
watch
give him
at your peril. Okay, then. I don't think I'm going to be around that long for it. I think I'm going to watch Joe and Ricochet and hopefully not turn it off in disgust and then walk away.
As long as they don't give Kofi the mic, I'm good.
They probably won't. They don't tend to give him a lot of promo time during the pay-per-views, so we'll be good to go. Well, all right. I guess that's it for this week. We got a lot of fun stuff planned for next week. We've been talking about a lot of great ideas. We have some pay-per-view hype. We have an AEW pay-per-view. We have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. We have a New Japan pay-per-view.
There's going to be a separate show, a recap show for those two pay-per-views.
That's right. We're going to do a separate that's going to be just that, so there won't be comics on that one.
With a special,
or maybe
guest.
We'll split it up. Like, maybe we'll do, like, an all-comic show and do an all-wrestling show. I don't know. We'll figure that out, because we don't want to do, like, a three-hour show.
One more thing. When does the NXT, what is it called, the tournament start?
Ooh, I don't know. Good question.
I thought they said next week, didn't they?
Next week. They showed us a bunch of matches for next week. They sound good.
I am hoping it's not part of regular NXT, so they can give it true time. I want it to be like the Mae Young Classic. The Mae Young Classic was its own thing.
Or the Cruiserweight Classic you want.
Mm-hmm. You tuned in, you watched it. It had nothing to do, you know, it had its own length. So that they could give the matches the justice they deserved. So it wasn't under time constraints and having to still fit in all the storylines of NXT. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it has nothing to do. But I may be wrong.
So this is the part where we should hit our Twitter handles and our...
Yeah, let's tell everybody where they can find us, tell us what they liked, didn't like, what more we should talk about.
Ooh. Yeah, you can find our podcast page at Indie Alley. You can find me at Comics Fred. Andrew, where can they find you?
You can find me at Real Comics, 2 E's, R-E-E-L Comics. Yeah, hit us up. Let us know what you thought of the comics we reviewed this week, if you're reading them too. If you're thinking of purchasing them, or there's another comic that you want on our radar. Also, let us know if there's a certain show that we're missing that we probably should check out. You know, there's a lot of indie shows. I think also that same weekend, Fred, there's a Rise show.
You know what I just thought about? I was watching, sorry, before we end this, I've seen, what is it, Wrestling of Hollywood, and it was David Arquette wrestled.
Oh,
he was on that show, on the most recent episode on the Fight TV app. You can watch it for free. And it was actually pretty good. David Arquette, like, nobody does facial expressions like him. It must be all that acting in those movies, because it was good.
I think that same... like company has a
an Arizona show
in Arizona. Yeah, they have one in Arizona, and I tried to watch it.
It's I actually stayed on the Hollywood one because they showed the beginning. They show some, you know, wrestlers that you will know if you watch indie wrestling. Just not a bunch of guys that you know you find at like the grocery store bagging your groceries. Well, wait, do they still do that? No one bags their groceries anymore. Does your grocery store still bag your groceries? Yes.
They bag them at Whole Foods.
Okay, that's it. Because, like, our local
Trader Joe's,
our local grocery store doesn't even have baggers anymore. The people that run it, they do it like Walmart now. They have that spinny thing. So,
oh yeah.
But yeah. I'm sorry, I was trying to be funny. It didn't land.
You're not funny.
Yeah, sorry.
Because it was an old joke.
Yeah, old man joke. That's a dad joke. But anyways, yeah. If you want to see David Arquette wrestle, I have seen him in the past wrestle like a death match where he was like seriously bleeding all over the place and crazy. And for them people to say that he doesn't like wrestling and he's not a wrestler, this dude puts his body through some stuff that he likes to prove it.
Before Double or Nothing, he was on one of the All Elite skits. They were backstage at some show. And he came up to the Bucks and he was talking to them and trying to like, and they were acting silly like they didn't know who he was and this and that. And they end up in the end giving him a double super kick in the face.
Yeah, so how can they not know who he is? He was WCW champ.
Oh, that guy.
Well, that's what they finally get to. They make that joke. They're like, oh, you're not that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so that's the whole gag is that they don't know who he is. He's trying, I'm David Arquette. I'm David Arquette. Yeah. That was the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
So I knew he was doing shows.
Didn't he wrestle on WrestleMania weekend? Because I feel like I've seen him that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bad memory.
Well, all right. We're going to wrap this up because we could ramble forever about little tiny facts about wrestling that are even so minute we don't know.
We'll do this off air. All
right. Well, everybody have a good night. Take care and
peace.